listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
In just a few moments, we're going to transition here. Byron Godino is going to come and minister with us and to us. I want to say this about Byron and Becky. We love this couple. They are a gift to this house. Byron has been invested in the Hispanic community that we touch as a congregation. And he's made so many friends in the harbor and made the connection that this church, Cornerstone Church, endeavors to be a multi-ethnic congregation. A congregation that reaches every ethnic group. And so we're so excited for what Byron's been able to do in touching the Hispanic community. He has personally invested in Jose and in Eva in such a way that he's equipping them and training them. And I am so grateful for their input into the lives of many people, the Hispanic community that chooses to worship with us here. I'm believing that in 2023, you're going to see some things explode. And this is going to be a wider and deeper river of love and expression to the folks of Grace Harbor. So, Byron, come share with us the word of the Lord. We're so excited. Let's stand to your feet. Let's welcome Byron as he comes to share with us truth.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. You are always very kind. Thank you, Ben. Thank you. Thank you, Jose. He's translating the service today. Praise God. Soon he's going to be a preacher, so get ready. Let's pray. Father, we thank you because you've been touching people during this service with the worship. We can feel your presence. We can feel your anointing. And Father, we are just so ready for this, that you will equip us, that you will anoint us, Father, so we can just duplicate that to other people, Lord. Help us to be a river, not a reservoir, Lord. To be victorious, not defeated. To be conqueror, Lord. And not just people that just are still. But help us to move. Help us to move in a way that will honor you. Help us just to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Not to be afraid. And I thank you, Lord, that you are here with us. And you've chosen us to be the people that you want us to be. We come to your presence humbly, Lord, with a spirit of humility. We pray against all pride, against all just trusting in the flesh, trusting in the wisdom of this world, worshiping the technology, worshiping just the wisdom of universities and this and that and science. I pray against all of that. And I pray that you will bring the knowledge that is in your Bible into our mind so we can be Christ-minded, so we can see things the way you see, so we can love people the way you want us to love. So I cast away all the spirit of darkness, and I just bring the Holy Spirit to take over this place into our hearts, into our minds, into our bodies. I pray that you'll be speaking to your people, not me, Lord. I'm a simple servant. So I pray that you will encourage them today, that you will bring the spirit of encouragement, of happiness, of joy, of deliverance, Lord. And we don't need to yell, we don't need to cry, we don't need to do a show. We need just to be who you make us to be, your children, Lord. I thank you for this church that is moving in a way that only you can do, Lord. We have a vision multicultural church with Spanish, Indian, Asian, Black, White. Everybody is welcome. And we'll conquer this place, not for our glory, but for your glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that I pray that we'll see things beyond our imagination. That we'll be the head and not the tail. That we'll be giving, not be asking. And that will be a good example. Cornerstone Church. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Today, I want to talk to you about a message of faith. The message of today is called bringing faith into this season, right? We all are excited about the season. We are buying gifts. My wife, beautiful wife, is the expert in buying gifts. I didn't grow up, you know, in this environment of shopping and trees. And when I met Becky, you know, we really had our first Christmas in my house. I am one of 10 children. So she came up one day and she bought a tree in our house in South America, in Ecuador. We were not married yet. We were boyfriend and girlfriend. And she just surprised us with a tree. We never done it before. So she put a tree. And then she put lights and everybody was excited. My family, what's going on? What's going on? It's like American Christmas, American Christmas. So everybody got excited. Then she said, we need to get gifts. We are talking about 20 people in my family. So it's like, she was getting gifts, you know. She got gifts for this person, that person. It was the first time, you know, celebrating Christmas with my wife. It's been amazing. In one of our Christmas, I remember my uncle. He was receiving this wallet. And inside the wallet was a $10 bill. And while he was opening the present, you need to understand that people, they are not used to gifts. And he was 70 years old guy. And he was opening the present. And he started crying. He started crying in front of everybody. And everybody hugged him and said, what are you crying for? And I was just so happy. I never received a gift in my life. 70 years old. His name was Osvaldo. He was a tailor. And he never received a gift in his life. So here in America, it's a beautiful environment. I don't want you to be like the Grinch this Christmas. I used to be like the Grinch. And my wife used to play the video. And I was like, I am the Grinch because I don't understand really, you know, how people get so excited with lights and this and that. So I want you to encourage you just to think about bringing faith into Christmas, because not everybody understands what Christmas is all about. And Christmas is all about, you know, Jesus. Jesus giving you. And he's not just died for you on the cross. He can bring you healing. He can bring you restoration. He can bring you peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Love. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the living water, the Shalom, the God of Peace in every way. During this time, I meet with our missionaries every week, and I pray with them. And they share with me all the hard situations in South America, lack of work, depression, anxiety, problems, corruption with the government. And we pray. We read the Bible and we pray. That is our meetings. We read the Bible and we pray. And we meditate in the principles of God. Those are our meetings. Every week I am meeting with them. And I am encouraging them because they are in the field. You know, I was in the field with my wife. I am in a different field now. You know, this is a different field. When I used to come back from South America, just when the airplane entered the United States, it's like a different feeling. But when you go overseas, you have this different environment, different spiritual environment. Anne can understand me, right, Anne? That's why, yeah, I know what you're talking about. She's been into Haiti, right? In other places. So she understands the spiritual environment. So when God, you know, wants to use us to bring faith into the season, He wants to use us. So we are the ones that we carry that anointing. Like Joshua and Caleb. And just think about that. There is a big church, but only few people, they carry the anointing. It's like Joshua and Caleb, they were 12 spies. 12! You might think at least 50%, right? 70%, they saw miracles. They saw the manna from heaven. They saw the fire, at least 90%. Please. 12, only two people. They go there into the promised land. They go to spy. Wow, it's a blessing. Wow, righteous. Giants. No. And so those 10 guys, they got discouraged. And only two, they came back. Oh man, we can do this. So out of a big church, you think that things are going to happen, but it's lacking something. And what they lack is called faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Thank you. He's going to be a good preacher too. Right, Brother Ben? So we walk by faith and not by sight. So that's the Christian life. Sometimes we just forget about this because we are in the system of this world. And this world is just giving you science, technology, and make you believe that we are coming from the monkey. Man, some people they look like monkeys, but they are not. I work in a public school, you know. I do sub-teaching, so I understand, you know, they come up with these crazy ideas. But I prefer believe in the Bible because they don't make sense, but, you know, it's up to you. So we need to walk by faith. So if God says, I gotta tell you about the theory of the Big Bang. This is the theory of the Big Bang, you know, from a Christian perspective. God spoke and bang. Right? Bang, the world was made. That's it. That's what happened. So we need to come up with this idea. You know, they come with these ideas and it's okay. Just let them be. But we walk by faith and not by this. All right? We only have a limited time in this world, so we need to take advantage of this. Because it will go away. You suddenly, you'll be 80 years old. And they say, what happened with my life? No, it is gone. That's what happened. It is gone. So you need to adopt this mentality of Joshua. And I want to take you this. The first point is we bring faith into this season when you find your territory. Right? Let me explain this a little bit, okay? You bring faith into the season when you find your territory. So in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, you know, God's commission for Joshua. And you need to understand this because God didn't call you to do everything, right? He didn't call you to do everything. You know, some people are trying to do everything and you are not going to be successful. Because God called you for a specific reason, a specific plan, a specific commission. Some people are involved in everything. God didn't call you to do everything and you are not successful, you are not going to be successful. You need to find your territory. What is your territory? You know, you sing, you dance, you write books. What is your territory that God is calling you to do? Because you are not going to be able to do everything. You don't have all the talents in the world. You need to find your territory. And God is calling you to do something. I know what is my territory. It took me about 20 years to figure out. Some people are very smart and they find their territory fast. For me, wow, it's been a process to find my territory. I plant churches, I develop missionaries, I develop leaders. That's what I do. We help the poor. We have a small organization. We deliver food. We buy shoes for children. We do crazy ideas by faith. That is our territory with my wife. So God is saying to Joshua, when Moses died, he's saying, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is gone. He's gone. Now therefore, arise. All right, and God is asking you to do, you know, some people are gone. And now you need to arise. Because only you know that God has called you to do something. But you don't want to. And people is getting old. And he's calling you. And he's saying, arise. Because you know he's calling you. And you need to arise. And he's calling and saying to Joshua, arise and go over the Jordan, you and all these people. I have chosen you, Joshua, and now you need to arise and you need to load up. And I have chosen you and you need to lead these people. And then in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I say to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far up the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and all the great sea toward going down the sand shall be what? That was it. So I know maybe God is not asking you to go and conquer this. But you have a territory. You have a territory. Brothers are going to the Philippines. And maybe God has been working there. And only them know what is their territory. I am almost positive that they are going. We don't know, but they probably have already a plan. They probably have already a mission. They've been planning for this and they are going to do what God calls them to do. Because they have a different territory. And we all have a different territory, and we need to think about our territory. Don't compare yourself with me. Don't compete yourself with other people. Sometimes we are comparing ourselves, and oh, that guy has done more than me. So if you compare with someone that is being called to do something, you're gonna fail. Or sometimes we see somebody that is lower than us, and we like to compare, oh, those guys never gonna catch up with me. So because it's not your territory. So you cannot compare to people. What you need to compare is to yourself. Okay, compete against yourself. All right? Compete against yourself. That's what you need to do because we have different territories. And we don't need to be the same. We don't need to be the same. You don't need to copy what I do because God made you unique to do what he called you to do, to conquer your territory. Not my territory. My territory is Ecuador, South America. Isn't here for now. Westport, Aberdeen. Okay, I am moving into that, into this territory. And I'm building up people. Jose, Trino, other people. Also, some people that are American too. Caucasian. So we are moving into a territory and we share the gospel. We baptize people. We encourage others by territory. What is your territory? Ask yourself, what is my commission? What is my commission? Let me tell you about this commission. It's not everything easy. But in verse 5, it says, when we find our territory, no man shall be able to stand before you. And that's the beautiful thing about founding your territory. Finding your territory. Finding your territory. When you find your territory, you are going to be unstoppable. No man shall be able to stand before you. All the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor forsake you. So remember my words. You don't have to do everything. We need to find our place in this season, in your life. Not just in Christmas, but in your season. Maybe you are in 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s. You know, find your territory and become the great man and woman of God that you need to be. But you need to find your territory. Don't copy a territory. Don't copy. Just do your territory. I want to show you a picture. That was our territory in 2016 with Becky. We found our territory. Wow. 2016, we purchased that land with $25,000. You know, we start a Bible group, and then that started growing, and then we rented a place, and we were preaching and sharing the gospel and working with children, adolescents, you name it. We've done it all. And then we moved into buying the piece of land in there in Quito, Ecuador. And that was our territory. And then by 2022, look at that. Wow. Just 2 weeks ago, there is that picture. Look at the downstairs, all those people, look. And then they just baptized 14 people there. Can you believe it? Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. That is because we found our territory. And let me tell you, it was not that easy. It's not that easy. You think about, we are talking about 6 years, 7 years of hard work. Nobody saw us, but God knows what we've been doing behind the scenes. Working, 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 praying, 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 giving, giving, giving. So we face many challenges. Let me share with you one of the challenges that I face. When I was in the middle, when we just finished the first floor and I needed to put the roof, you know, the architect came to me and said, Byron, you have a very low budget. And if you put the roof, that's going to collapse. I was like, that was words of the architect. What the hell? You are trying to do the impossible here, Byron. And then I was already down, and then another sister in Christ said, Byron, you are playing with people here. People is going to meet in that place. And you're trying to put a roof with that kind of budget? Man, two people came against me. The architect and also a sister in Christ. So I was doubting. That was one of the times that I was doubting a lot. And I have this in my mind. I couldn't sleep. I pray a lot. I was like, if I put the roof, if that thing goes down, everybody's going to blame me. And I could quit. And everybody will be okay. But there the Holy Spirit said, Byron, what's going on? I sent you to do that. Like while I was praying, I could feel that God was whispering to me, move forward. So I was like, but 40% chance that the roof is going to go down. No, a lot of blaming I'm going to experience. But God was saying, go for it, Byron. Go for it. You are a man of faith. So I need to remember all those good principles that I am a child of God, that I can do everything in Christ. So I say, look, I know you believe that, but we're going to make it. Let's put the roof. So we did it with 40% chance that it will collapse. So that roof, they poured the river, they put the river, the cement, a lot of stuff, and the roof was like, okay, we made it. And it didn't collapse, but it was kind of weak. So then God sent a new team later on, and they say, oh, for 2,000, we fixed it. We put the this and that. Somehow that thing became very solid. And now you can see the second floor. We were aiming for one apartment, but we were able to do two apartments. Praise God. We were able to do for the youth pastor and for the lead pastor that they live there. And they have church Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, you name it. Every day I'm at church. But what I am telling you, this is because if you find your territory, you know, the devil cannot stop you. The enemy cannot stop you. So that is the important thing about your territory. And so I want to encourage you today to find your territory. So this takes us to the second point. To bring faith into this season, be strong and courageous. Right? That's all what this is all about. Be strong and courageous. You know, recently, my wife and me, we purchased a building. And I have a picture of the building. Can we show it? Thank you. It's here in Aberdeen, a building. We purchased the building. It's like a house, but, you know, it has offices downstairs. It has an apartment up there. The apartment didn't have water. So I am not a plumber, but, you know, over the last 7 months, you see me coming in here, but some days I am barely, because that's been hard work. I've been under the building, over the building, plumbing, electricity. I look like a constructor now. And, you know, I have developed some new skills in my life that I didn't believe I could. You know, I was in Ecuador. I'm the lead pastor, you know. He don't know nothing about plumbing. But God brought me into this territory. And just He's been teaching me to develop these new skills in my life. And He's been developing to faith. So the day, you know, I am fixing the apartment, and I was thinking, I'm going to live in here. You know, it's a nice apartment with my wife and this and that. But what happened is the day I finished, I put the plumbing. We use PEX. If you know what I'm talking about, it's a new material for plumbers. Very easy to work with, PEX. And so the day I finished, everything was working. We got water. I was very happy. And my wife met with this friend that she used to go to another church, and we met her before. She has 6 children. And she didn't have a place to live. And so she came to visit us, and I am here with this building. It's ready. But the second floor, only 2 rooms and in the kitchen, but I don't know if I can hold it, but you know, I was struggling. And God is saying, Byron, do what you need to do, the right thing. So we offered the place to the lady. So you can imagine, she came with the 6 children, and it's been some difficult. While it was temporary, it's already been 7 months. 7 months. We've been struggling with many problems, difficulties. You know, the children, one day they were jumping in the bathtub. That thing didn't hold it. You know, we have a water leak. Went into one of the offices, destroyed the ceiling. You know, the carpet. It was a mess. So I remember that they entered in the building and my wife crying. And I was like, yeah, it's okay. We can fix it with time. But why I'm telling you is that why I'm telling you this story is because God calls us sometimes into the territory, and He develops some skin, so you can be strong and courageous. And you need to develop that into your life, because God has given you a spirit that is powerful. Just think about David facing Goliath. He developed that in his mind. And sometimes the devil is speaking to us and telling us, you're weak. You know how many times the devil has spoken to me under the building? You are weak. You don't know what you are doing. You don't have the money. You don't have the resources yet. I have a building in the United States of America. We have our offices, our nonprofit. We have our offices. We support 4 missionaries. 4 missionaries in South America. Our mission support us and another couple in here in the United States. 6 missionaries. Can you believe that? Me? I can't believe it. No, I do believe it. You know why? Because God is faithful. He is the strong one. When we are weak, what the Bible says? He is the strong. He is the rock. He is our shield. Amen? So you need to remember that God called you. And sometimes we are weak, but God wants us to change our way of thinking. He wants to change the way we see ourselves. Because He didn't create weak people. That's what the enemy wants you to believe. He wants you to destroy your life, to make you feel down there. But God builds you up. You know, I go to the Y and I play pickleball. Now I pick something else, you know. I go for an hour. I swim and I play pickleball. And I, you know, at the beginning, everybody just destroyed me. And I was like, Lord, you have to give me wisdom. Now, when I enter that court, everybody trembles. Praise God, praise God. I destroy everybody now. In the power of the Lord Jesus, by the glory of God. They say it's just a game. When they were winning, they were like, ah. And now they say, it's just a game, you know. I am like, sure. America got very competitive. Okay. So, that's the good thing that you need to remember. In 2 Chronicles 15:7, the Bible says, but you be strong and do not let your hand be weak. Look at that. The word of God. 2 Chronicles 15:7. But you, he's talking directly to you, be strong and do not let your hand be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. That's it. 2 Chronicles 15:7. Your work shall be rewarded. So you need to get away from that mentality that the enemy is being speaking to you all the time. You're weak, you're weak, you cannot do it. I'm telling you, he screams. But you have to stop that. And then you need to start a new vocabulary in your mind. I'm strong and courageous. I'm a child of the most living God. I can do this, right? So now I am lining up for 2023 for a new project. Things are coming together. And again, can you believe it? This is my second project, our second project that we finished. And now I am lining up for a new project. And God called you to line up for a new project. We only have like 4 minutes. I know you. I got to send you out on time. Don't worry. So number 3, to bring faith into this season, we need to believe. That's number 3. Remember number 1, and to find your territory. Number 2, be strong and courageous. Number 3, you need to believe. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible tells us, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. So we need to believe all the stories from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations. You need to believe. You need to load up. There are days in my life when I am feel weak. I don't feel that spiritual. And I listen to the Bible. I put in Psalms and Joshua in the New Testament, and I hear it over and over. You need to load up every day, every night. Instead of, you know what, I don't want to say it. But you need to load up the Word of God. It will help you. We're going to finish with a story in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 to 20. It talks about this priest and Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth. Thank you, sister. I almost done. Well, God is telling us this story, Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were a good couple. If you read, you know, they were living justly. They were doing a good job. And he was a priest, you know, he was a priest. And in that time, they had thousands of priests, and they used to come to the temple to serve 1 week a year, only 1 week a year. And from all of them, they used to have a raffle. And the winner got the privilege to take incense to the holy place. So it was like a big deal. I got the incense. So Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were old, and they've been praying because they couldn't have children. They were praying for a long time. But he was kind of giving up. But he got the lucky one. I believe that God already prepared that. He was not lucky. He just prepared. So he got the privilege to get into the holy place, going with the incense. The incense was representation. The people was outside praying. They were praying. He was with the incense, and he went there. It was a representation of the prayers of people. When he enters, man, an angel was there. Gabriel. He was there waiting for him. And he was in shock. He knew the Old Testament. He was a priest. He knew many things, but he never encountered something like that. So he was afraid. And Gabriel said, "Hey, hold on. I bring you good news." He was like, "Okay." So he said, "You're going to have a baby." "What? I'm already, you know, old. I don't want any babies." "I've been praying for it, but I don't think it's going to happen." "Yes, good news. And he's going to be mighty in the eyes of the Lord." And imagine a priest. He knew. And he said, "I need a sign." Okay? So the fact that you know your Bible, the fact that you're living just and right and you know and doing the right thing, that doesn't mean that you have faith. And the angel said, "You want a sign? I am Gabriel. You are mute." Boom. You are mute. You're living right. You've been praying to God, and God is listening, and he's gonna give you what you've been asking. But you're lacking something. Your faith is just down there. And because of that, I'm going to give you a sign. Your voice is going to be gone. And that happened. And, you know, then after John was born, he recuperated the voice. So what I am asking you to bring faith into this season. What is impossible for men is possible for God. So we're gonna pray. Stand up and pray. Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, we come to you, Father. And I wanna pray for all my brothers in Christ in here, and the people that are watching online too, that you help us with our faith. Help us, Father, because we don't live by faith, but help us to bring that back into our life, to bring that back into our families, to bring that back into our communities, to bring that back to our children, to tell them the stories about creation, to tell them the stories about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Moses. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to be a believers and no doubters. Help us to know that you have created us with a purpose, with a plan. Help us, Lord, to find our territory. I put everything in your hands. Just you do your will. Thank you for choosing us, for saving us. All the glory and honor to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And the people says, amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Awesome. Do you have faith to trust God in your territory this season? I want to thank you, Byron. Awesome. Here's what you can need to be reminded of. This Wednesday, I'm going to be resuming our research study, Bible study, at 6:30. Join us. It's an amazing journey. And then next Sunday, we're going to believe God for some things relative to our journey in Christ. But I need your help. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, our children are going to present the message of God's love. Take this little blue or green, whatever it is, piece of paper. Fill in where you can help us. Place it in the offering reception box in the foyer or give it to an usher. We're going to have a great weekend next weekend. Are you loaded with faith after that message by Byron? I am. Thank you, Byron. God bless you. Let's go in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for being here.